All right. Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, I should say. Welcome. Glad everyone is able to join us virtually, but that is still very cool. What a world we live in, that we can gather virtually and still be in God's presence. I mean, I'm sitting here 6 feet away from the next closest person, just so everyone's aware. But I'm sitting here, and even in the worship, man, it's just God just wrecks me. And it's just so good that we have this time that we can still set aside and worship Him, hear His word, be encouraged. I hope we're gathered in our smaller circles, in our smaller cells, still conglomerating with our family and our loved ones. So last week we started our virtual service, and we were talking about celebrating the Passover or Pascha, right? We started in looking at why we want to celebrate Pascha in regards to what Christ has done for us, as what He did for His people in the Bible that we read about. In particular, we're following the story of Moses from Exodus 12, about the Israelites who were freed from Egypt's control and the Passover they celebrated there. Let's take a quick recap. Let us take a quick recap of what we talked about last week, what we read, what we understood, right? So the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. And then God, through Moses, wants to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land so that they may worship Him. Pharaoh kept refusing Moses' request, so God brought judgments to the Egyptian gods through the plague. This is what shared was last week. Our brother Rinaldi was the one who talked about it, and he focused a bit more on the aspect of freedom from idols. If you guys remember, I'll give a quick recap. So the freedom of idols, we talked about the freedom of idols from the idol of feeling good. I do what I want so I can feel good. The god of success. I put success in my career in front of everything, and that is all that we value. And even the god of parenting success, worshiping how we parent our children and we make them become our trophies, and that is all. We put this pressure on them. We all have different idols, and as we identify what our idols are, we can conclude that, as to quote last week, Jesus must become more beautiful to your imagination, more attractive to your heart than your idol. That was a great line. I quoted our brother Rinaldi there. Now today, what we're going to focus on today is we're going to take a look at what freedom from slavery is and what that means to us. That, right, the Egyptians were masters of the Israelites, and God set them free. Let's take a look at what slavery means. So by definition, I found this on online Google, which means it's very accurate, because everything you find online is true. Just kidding, that's not very true. Be wary of what information you read. But I went to dictionary.com, and this is what it reads. So slavery, bondage, servitude refer to involuntary subjection to another or others. Slavery emphasizes the idea of complete ownership and control by a master. To be sold into slavery, bondage indicates a state of subjugation or captivity, often involving burdensome and degrading labor in bondage to a cruel master. I think that definition really encapsulates what slavery is. This is kind of a picture that I feel encompasses what slavery looks like from the Bible, right? This is the Egyptians. You know, you have these hard masters. You have these people being forced to work hard labor. What kind of picture comes to mind for you when I mention like slavery? Working day in, working day out, being forced to do hard labor. How about something closer to home? Slavery is something that, unfortunately, that takes place even in the modern time. If we look at the U.S., there's an estimated 400,000 people who are considered slaves in the United States today, which on the global scale, if you look at it, it's about 25 million people. That is on a conservative estimate. Slavery puts a boundary between races that lasts even after slavery, has been abolished. That is why MLK had such a dream of equality. Now I want to paint a picture for you. Let's go back even further. Let's go back a few more years to the early foundings of the United States. Going back many years now, imagine being captured by a slave trader or even a neighboring tribe that happens to be at war with your tribe. Perhaps they just don't like you. They take you in chains, or if you're lucky, by hooks that they have placed in your nose, your tongue, your eyebrow, or some other place on your body. You are then taken to a warehouse where you are presented and sold like cattle. The men who buy you put you on a ship bound across the Atlantic Ocean. That crossing could last anywhere from 40 days to 6 months. On a small, narrow boat where the slaves were placed, as tight as they can be, sandwiched so that no more men could fit even in that space, even taking out food supplies so more people can be put on. They did this to offset the high death rates that they would encounter on these voyages. The slaves who were then chained together slept every night and remained in shelves built like bunk beds, as many as four high with about 20 inches of headroom per shelf. They were often starved and left to sit in their own wastes. The women were raped, children were abused, all were neglected, sometimes not even being allowed to stand up for long periods of time, especially in storms, which were frequent. And if they survived the trip, they were seasoned, which means that they were taught to obey, speak English, usually by harsh abuse. From there, they were sold to the rich, who often found it more practical to work a slave to death than to pay for upkeep of that slave. Even if you were born a slave, you were automatically a slave and often sold to another master. We too were slaves. I don't mean to cast such a negative picture, but I am actually trying to cast somewhat a realistic point of view of what slavery really is. And this is something that's taken from history. This is something that's taken from what happens in what happened and sometimes does still happen in the world. And we too were slaves. Now, I'm pretty sure those of us that I'm speaking to today, thankfully, didn't have to endure this type of slavery. At least, I hope not. If you have, God is still good. But I'm trying to paint a picture that this is a very serious matter, that we too were slaves. And being a slave is not a good thing. Well, now maybe you're thinking, what relates to me today? Okay, that wasn't me. But what kind of slavery are we talking to today? I'm not enduring physical chains. I'm not being boarded up. I'm not sleeping with a 20-inch bunk bed. Maybe you are. Maybe that's fun. But what kind of slave are we talking about today? What is it? Remember this definition earlier we read, what slavery was? Slavery is bondage, servitude to involuntary subjugation to another. Slavery emphasizes the idea of complete ownership and control by a master to be sold into slavery. I think today what we're talking about, today what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about slavery to sin. Sin. S-I-N. Sin. I'm not talking to you, Sean, but sin. Sin. Sin becomes the master and forces us to do whatever it wants. It can control our entire life, all of our actions. We can be led by sin. It holds us captive and creates bondages for us, on us. Your every thought, your every action is driven, is held by sin. So we can see the depravity that sin causes us. We can see the heaviness and this cost of slavery to sin. It's this weight. If you've ever been in your life and you've ever sinned, which I'm sure we all have, But I think back and I can think like when I'm driven by my sin, that just encompasses my mind entirely. That encompasses my thoughts, my waking moments. What am I doing next? Sin controls these things. Now, what's the solution to this? What do we have that can save us? Is there hope for us? What can we do to break out of our sin our slavery to sin? Earlier, I mentioned that God saves us from the slaver, right? We were two slaves. So I want to ask you, has Jesus set us free? Which is weird. I'm used to having an audience, and they tend to be like, yes or no. And then I'm just like asking a blank question. And I know you're agreeing. You're saying amen in your homes. But I just don't hear it, so it sounds very interesting. But I asked, I'm sorry, I lost my thought. So has Jesus set us free? Yes, he has. Why don't we read together from Romans 6, 16 through 18 here. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. And you have become slaves. Wait, what? I thought I'm just free. But you have become slaves instead to righteous living. Wow. You must be confused. Like, wait. I thought I'm free. Yes, you are free. You are free from slavery to sin. Now you are slavery to righteous living. I know that's very confusing. We're going to read more. Let's stop real quick and let's pull apart these verses first and spend some time here. There's a lot that we can get from this passage. The first line is becoming a slave to whatever we choose to obey. If we become slaves to sin, we will choose to obey sin. Right? I alluded to this earlier. If we choose to be a slave to sin, if we choose sin as our master, that is what we're going to do. That is what will lead us. That is what will take us from here to there. If you become a slave to the sin of lust, that's what will occupy your mind. That's what will occupy your thoughts. That will occupy your actions. If you become a slave to anger, angry all the time, that's what's going to occupy your mind, your thoughts. What master you choose will lead you down that path. And in this case, sin leads you to death. It says so right there. Slave to sin, which leads to death. What kind of sins do you have today? What master do you serve? Do you serve the master of lust? Do you serve the master of pride, anger? Pursuing the worldly desires that will make you happy and whatever you want to do. Is that the master? Is that what you're a slave to today? The Bible says so here that you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. It's as hard a truth as it is, it says it right there. It'll lead to death. What other option do we have? I think that in the next line, if you keep reading, right, in the same verse, verse 16, it says, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Mind blown. Righteous living. What master do you want to follow? Do you want to follow sin? Do you want to follow God? If we are choosing righteous living, let's keep reading and see what that says. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. This verse is heavy. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If we unpack these few verses we just read, right, verse 19 was talking about the illustration of slavery. Slavery is something that people can relate to, especially if you look in the context of the Bible. The Israelites, I mean, they've been in slavery like in and out of their entire life. And that's kind of why I talked about this. I alluded to this earlier. I was painting this picture about what slavery looks like even in modern times. And it's hope in the hopes of it connecting to what we can understand. As we keep going, we can see in relation to verse 21 and 22, it talks about how we were slaves to sin and how it would lead to eternal doom. The master we serve will lead us down a particular path. There is only one true master that we can serve that will lead to eternal life. Verse 23 states, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So something outside of the context of the slavery we mentioned earlier, right? The one about being on the boarded on the ship and living that in that indentured slave life, or even as the Israelites. Something we really don't tend to think about is, but today, I believe in our world, at least in what we're talking about today right now, is we get to choose. Do you know that we get to choose who will be our master? Everyone will be a slave to something or someone. But unlike the Israelites here, we actually get to choose today who we want to be a slave to, who we set our master to be. We have the choice, which is really scary, right? Because now you're like, well, sometimes you kind of flip-flop. Sometimes you maybe want to go this way. I want to serve this master. Then I want to serve this master. But we ultimately have the choice. And it is our choice to choose. Are we choosing sin? Are we choosing what makes us feel good? Are we choosing what's easy? Are we choosing what we feel our emotions want at this point in time of our life? Is that the master we're choosing to serve? Or is God the master that we want to serve? Right, we've read these scriptures. We've looked into it. We have seen that the master we serve ultimately reflects where we end up. Who are we going to choose and why does it matter? But the master you serve will determine where you end up. Will you live a life that is doomed for death, or will you live a life that is going to give you eternal life? What master will you choose? I really hope that we choose God so that we may have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, I want to choose God. I don't want to die. I don't want to have eternal death. Come on, Josh, let's be real. Why would I choose eternal death? In our mind, when I'm speaking today, of course, your mind is going to be like, yeah, I want to choose God. I want to choose righteous living. But what about tomorrow? What about the day after? Will your mind, if no one's talking to this to you, will your mind still think that? Okay, we had a retreat a few weeks ago, right? And many of you probably received a word. Many of you got touched and it spoke to you in that moment. And you're like, yes, I'm doing this. I'm repenting. I'm living for God. I'm living for his kingdom. I'm following his mission. And you'd be like, I have chosen Christ and I want to be a slave to righteousness. Yes, but I still sin. What does this mean for me? This is a great line. It says, the freedom Christ promises in this life is not freedom from the struggle with sin, but freedom from slavery to sin. Read that one more time. The freedom Christ promises in this life is not freedom from struggle with sin, but freedom from slavery to sin. It doesn't mean that we won't encounter struggles with sin. It doesn't mean we won't be challenged in maintaining our righteousness. But it means that we've been free, that we are no longer slaves to sin because of the price that Christ has paid. You will be tempted in many ways. And often you will fail. The prevailing disposition of your soul is not the only disposition of your soul. There may be times when you fall into pride. You may give into your lust, into your lieful and sinful, deceitful nature. But, this is a but at the core of your being, at the core of your being, you know that is not what you want. You want to honor Christ because you are a new creation in him. He is the master that you want to serve. Our freedom in Christ, right? God gives us the choice. Remember I talked about that we have the choice, that we get to choose, oh master. Our freedom in Christ makes sense of our struggles with sin, and it brings us enduring hope in Jesus Christ. It gives God the glory for his saving work in us, and it gives us the confidence that God is faithful and will keep us in his grip until Christ comes and into eternity. It'll keep us faithful, and God will be the one to help us persevere. The freedom Christ promises in this life is not freedom from the struggle with sin, but freedom from slavery to sin. It is a choice we have to serve God, and God will be the one to give us the power to overcome the struggles with sin. God will be the source. It is because of the choice that we have to choose what master we serve, which is the beauty of our relationship with Christ. I'm going to close with this last verse here. It's the last verse, but it's a long one. But let's read 1 Timothy 4:8-9. Then we're going to skip a little bit, and we're going to go to 16. Because if we went through all of that, it's another sermon. And we want to get you back to your daily activities, to your daily routines. So let's read together. For athletic training only benefits you for a short season. But righteousness brings lasting benefit in everything. For righteousness contains the promise of life for time and eternity. Faithful is the word, and everyone should accept him. Give careful attention to your spiritual life and every cherished truth you teach. For living what you preach will then release even more abundant life inside of you and to those who listen to you. For living what you preach will then release even more abundant life inside of you and to all those who listen to you. We've talked about how bad slavery is, and we've learned that we are slaves to sin, right? That was the initial thing, that we were slaves to sin. And however, we learned that Christ allowed us to be free, right? Christ made us free from our sins, and that we are free. The verses we just read, I like to believe that it gives us reasoning of why we want to be free from sin and why we want to train ourselves to be holy and a slave to righteousness, instead of just choosing sin as our master, instead of choosing to be slaves to sin. We get to live a life in abundance since we have been freed. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And as Romans says, "But now you are," and Romans 6, as we heard earlier, says, "But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." As you read these verses, right, it talks about promise of righteousness, and it contains the, as we seek righteousness, it gives the promise of life for a time and eternity. In the verses in between, it calls that we are called to serve tirelessly, to instruct and teach, to devour the word of God, to be faithful in prayer and in teaching the believers. We make all this our constant meditation so that when we preach, when we talk about how Christ has transformed us, how we are no longer slaves to sin, how we choose a new master, that we will release even more abundant life inside of us. And to those who listen to you will receive that as well, that even more abundant life will be released. I'm going to close with this thought. Let us live our lives of righteousness to be a witness to those around us. Let's choose to be slaves to Christ and righteousness and not sin. Sin will lead to death. That doesn't mean we won't be flawless. That doesn't mean we won't have fallings. We won't fall short. But I believe in our heart, if we really choose to serve the Master of God, choose to serve righteousness, that He will help us. He gave Christ to us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. In the season of Passover, let us continue to remember the price that Christ paid on that cross and how He bought us that freedom from slavery. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we come before You. We are so thankful that You paid the price, that we are no longer bound to serve the master of sin, but rather we get the privilege and the choice to serve You, serve a master of righteousness, which leads to eternal life instead of eternal death. Father, we are so thankful that You sent Your Son all those years ago, that You sent Your Son to pay this price, to give us the strength to endure, to give us the strength to overcome sin as we have chosen a new master. We believe, we just want to remember You in this time, that we thank You. We thank You for the price that You paid, God.